another with these words. So Christian Fellowship has a 10-word mission statement. We'll put it up on the board. It's evangelize, educate, equip, providing spiritual fellowship, providing Christian fellowship and spiritual support worldwide. And I have been blessed to be a part of this ministry for a few years. And we have, you know, I've gone to Italy to visit our fellowship there, Japan, Sicily. I've just been blessed to go all over this world to visit brothers and sisters that are in the military. And what an encouraging time we've always had. And I know there's others in this room that have had the same privilege. And I remember going into Barcelona, Spain to meet Rod Williams. And, what, you had about 30-some guys there. And, man, we just had Bible studies in a hotel. We even had some army come from Bosnia when they were out there at that time to be with us. Christian fellowship is important. It isn't coming to church. Coming to church is taking your car to a gas station and pumping gas in it. You don't do that and say, well, I'm done. No, you get in it and you use what you pumped in there, right? Come to church, get blessed, be a part of it with us, and then go and use what you've got for the furtherance of the kingdom of heaven. And in the furtherance of that, we have the awesome privilege to hand out two certificates. We, beyond a shadow of a doubt, we know that baptism is essentially a part of the plan of salvation. And when someone makes that step, it is an important step. Because they're committing their life to saying, I'm going to start now, and I'm going to do this for the rest of my life. So we have two young people this week that have been baptized. And Kashawan King, if you'd come up. God bless you. I know his dad's very proud. And Haley Honus. Amen. You may be seated. You know, life happens. How many knows life happens? You know, you could be driving down the street, be cautious, there's ice on the road. Some clown behind you is not paying attention at all, and bam. There was a young lady that we heard about. She had a car for 2 weeks, was driving it to work for the first time, and the snowplow, she was stopped at an intersection, and the snowplow just destroyed the car, right down the whole side of the car, cleaned it out. She was doing her own business, right? But life happens. And life happened to my family this last week. Pam has been diagnosed with breast cancer. And we know that there's many in here that have gone through that. We know that God is more than a healer. He is an enabler. So what I'd like to do, the Bible said, those that are sick among us, let us call the elders of the church. So I'd like to ask Pastor Lise, Pastor Payne, Pastor Taylor to come. I'd like to ask Brother Bruce Wilson to come up and join us. Pam, I know she's reluctant. And then I'd like to ask our family, Mrs. Davis, Heather, Holly, to come, and we'll put Pam in the middle. And then, ladies, if you'd like to come and join us up here and pray for Pam, I'd be honored.
Heavenly Father, we have no doubt that we are here and you are here in the midst of us. It's a promise you've made that whenever two or three of us gather together, you are here. And if we agree in one thing, God, you are with us. And Lord, we base our coming before you on one thing, that you are too wise to be mistaken. And there isn't anything that will pass by you, Lord, like if you don't know or don't understand. We know for certain, Lord, you have the answers for every question, for every problem. And Lord, we come in here and lifting up your servant before you. We're not informing you anything you don't know. You already know it. And Lord, you have planned for every single one of our lives. We come before you, Lord, to ask for strength and ask for every bit of courage we'll need, Lord, to keep being that faithful servant to you in every situation, in every, because we do have the world around us, and we do have the weak around us, and we do have to remain faithful, Lord, in everything we go. Lord, you were at the cross, Lord, when you were mocked, but Lord, you still said, forgive them. They don't know what they say. So it's the same way, Lord, we ask that your servant, Lord, can learn of you, like you said, learn of me. When there are things, Lord, we don't know how they're going to come out, you just say, learn of me. Lord, help us as a family, Lord, to tie together and stay at your feet. Because like Peter, Lord, where else can we go? You have the word of eternal life. And you have the healing. You have the encouragement. You have every single thing you we need, Lord. Every single thing, Lord, the Thomas family needs, is you have it. So help us to bind together and stay closer to you and see what the end, which is the glorious end that you have for us, Lord. Bless my sister. Let her be the one you call her to be. No change, Lord, because there is no change in you. Let her be the same person you saved years ago. We love you and we thank you. We ask you all this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you. And I know the Bible says the prayers of the righteous availeth much. And that's why we wanted you to know, because beyond a shadow of a doubt, God hears the prayers of the righteous. And it's easier when I had the cancer and was going through it than it is for me to be the husband. So pray for me that I would be the continuing support that my wife needs. Amen. Now we're going to step into tithes and offerings. And just to share this little, you know, there was a motivational speaker came to this place and was really rousing the people up. And he says, you know, this place needs to crawl. And everybody says, amen, let it crawl. And he gets it wound up some more. And he says, and this crowd needs to walk. And everybody's getting excited. He says, amen, let's walk. And gets them wound up again. And he says, and this, we're gonna run. And everybody shouts, let us run. He gets somebody. He says, this place is gonna fly. And everybody says, let it fly. And he says, and it's gonna take money. And somebody in the back said, let it walk. Well, our church doesn't fly. Our church soars. We soar with eagles. God has given us a job and a ministry to do, and God has given each of us in this congregation to be a part of that work. So as we share today of the of the blessings that God has given us, let us share those, giving it to God, not to the church, because it goes to the work that God has called all of us to do. And collectively, you know, collectively we can do more than individually. Because if we all just took this little bit that we have, and we all went to try to do something, there's not much you can do. But collectively, we can see more souls touched, more lives changed, more families ministered to than we can as individuals. So let us look to help the most with what God has shared with us. Amen. Heavenly Father, as we gather today to worship you, we thank you for all of your good and perfect gifts. For out of the abundance of the earth, Lord, you truly have met every need that we have. God, you've provided us with shelter, with food. You've provided us with friends and family. And you've provided us with the blood from the cross. You've provided us with grace and mercy. And God, we are so grateful for all that you have done for us. Now, Lord, we ask you to take this that we commit into your hands, to bless it, to multiply it, to the meeting of every need that is brought before this ministry, so that we could see lives truly affected with the power of the message of the gospel. We ask for your blessing in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Amen.
Thank you. Good morning. Morning. For the last 3 weeks, we've been going over sacrificing rights and privileges. And hopefully it's been well understood. You do have rights, you do have privileges, and it's voluntary. Was asked by Paul to sacrifice him for many goods. We saw from chapter 8 to chapter 10, he talks about knowledge. I mean, the Corinthians, they had knowledge, and he told them knowledge puffed up. But he wanted them to work such a way to edify the congregation. And he asked them to surrender. And for himself, he said, if for meat or for anything silly that he would offend somebody, as long as the world exists, he wouldn't eat meat. That's how far he would go. And then in chapter 9, we read last week, to do all things. He, to every man, I mean, to the Jews, he was Jews, the Greek, he was Greek. And this morning, we're going to put an end to it. He's going to conclude from chapter 10, verses 23 until verse 1 in chapter 11. And this is what we're going to read this morning to conclude this series. And I'll ask you for you to stand up with me and let us read this together. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 23 to chapter 11, verse 1. This is Paul continuing, and this is his conclusion. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Whatsoever is sold in the shambles, that eat, asking no questions for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and ye be disposed to go, whatsoever is said before you, eat, asking no questions for conscience sake. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that cheweth it, and for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Conscience, I say, not thine own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken for that which I give thanks? Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Be ye followers of me, even as I of Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We already thank you for blessing us today, because we pray that you will speak through your servant. You will let him say and speak only the things that you will want him to, Lord. Forgive him of his sins and clear the path of anything, for anything that would hinder us from getting this message this morning, that we may go and live it and be a testimony for you. We pray and ask all these in Jesus' name. Thank you. You may be seated. Do all to the glory of God. Last week, I started with a quiz, and I asked some true, false questions. I think at least one of them, I heard true, false for both. So we were not one. Because there are some questions in life you cannot say. Like, you know, when you go to court, they ask a question that they want you to answer yes or no. Some questions need explanation. It's not yes or no. You have to say yes, but, etc. It's like children, they think black and white. Okay? You tell them lying is bad. And that's what they know. And but there are circumstances where we lie. Somehow we find a reason for it. Let's say, for example, we are at war with ISIS right now. Let's say we were living somewhere and then one of our planes get crashed and then one of our pilot save and then for some reason, we hide them. Actually, should we hide this pilot to begin with? Okay, let's say we hide, and then some ISIS soldiers would come say, "Hey, we saw the pilot eject. Do you see where he went?" What do you do? So, if you are a good Christian, so spiritual, you're going to say, "Yeah, he's in my room." Now your kid will say, "That's a lie." Yeah, if you say, "No, I don't know," it's a lie, right? So you see, there are circumstances you have to think. It's not just easy black and white. There are circumstances you have to think and to make a choice. So there are things we started from the beginning. There are things in the Bible that are not in the Bible. There are gray areas that you need to think. I shared that with you before. I was in a situation where it was brought to me, a woman, she was running away from people trying to kill her because she just killed somebody, fighting with another woman for a man. And then she ended up being, murderer for somebody. But now the person comes and people are after her to kill her and give her away. So I have an opportunity to choose, okay, give her away to be killed or keep her, save her life. That's not easy choice. It's easy when you are outside, but when you are in it, it's not easy. There are circumstances. So this is 1 Corinthians 8, 9, and 10, a lot of it. But Paul said something that is very important. It says when he was a child, what happened? He thought as a child. He did everything. But when he became a man, he put away a child. It's like when you are a child, you think black and white. But when, as you grow and have more understanding, you start thinking, you start understanding more. When you go to college, you start thinking critically. You criticize things. So that's how you go. And it's the same thing in the spiritual life. There are things you like Paul said, adultery is absolutely wrong. But now the question, should I eat meat sacrificed to idol? You will have to think. The circumstances will tell. I cannot tell you this is wrong, this is right. You have to study the area you are. You have to study circumstances. It requires some thinking. So this is what Paul is faced, and that's what we're going to see finishing. I have quite some notes, but I'll make sure I send you home on time. Verse 23, he said, all things are lawful for me. I mean, he wants to make that clear once again. He is free. He said it many, many times. But all things are not expedient. Just because I can do it, that doesn't mean I should do it. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Not everything that I do will lift somebody up. And his goal is to lift people up. So principle number one, he says in 23, let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. So that's a good principle to live by. So what you do, you cannot be selfish. Whatever you do, you cannot do it just to look for your own, seek for what's good for you. You have to seek somebody else's as well. That's the principle. And he continued, he told them, whatsoever is sold in the market, just buy and eat. No question, because everything belongs to God. Okay? Verse 27, he says, if any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and ye be disposed to go, whatsoever he said before you, eat, asking no question for conscience sake. Okay? Between us Christians, we fellowship. We have a good time in Christ's fellowship. But there are people who are not believers. They are our friends. They invite us to their house, to their parties. We go. Now, whatever he said before you, you have a choice to make. But he said you would be free to eat. Oh, obviously, in this sense, it's sacrifice. Meat sacrifice to idol, but for us here in America, maybe it's drinking, maybe obviously you would not drink because you know what alcohol means here. Okay? But for meat, he told them, hey, first of all, as far as he is concerned, you are free to eat. But if somebody say, hey, this was sacrifice to idol, don't do it. But not for you, for that person. Remember the principle, you don't seek your own, you seek the other's wealth. So we fellowship with the brethren, but we have friendship with the unbelievers. Verse 28 and 29, and let's jump to 31. In 31, it says, whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. I want you to see here, eating and drinking. He is not talking now about the thing sacrificed to idol. Eating and drinking here is more like the basic thing, the basic function in life. The simplest thing you can do. do all to the glory of God. Whatsoever, do all to the glory of God. I was thinking about it, and I did have a hard time, and I think with Jim, I had fellowship last couple of days, I think, Friday. And I told Jim how I don't know if I will be ready to preach this message today because it's been working on me, and until the job was done, I wouldn't be able to come and preach. I was thinking about it. He says, all to the glory of God, whatsoever you do, even the simplest thing as eating and drinking, which basic things we do to live. And I thought about it. I said, do I really think about that, everything I do in everything? And I said, I would ask you this question, if any of you really have the habit of thinking, even your drinking, your eating, okay? And I said, I would ask you after church, for example, you leave church and maybe a husband will ask the wife, oh, what do you want to do after church? I think we can go eat. Oh, where do you want to eat? And then you pick a restaurant. And you go to the menu. And it's, yeah, we pick. Even that simple things, God wants you to do it for His glory. So even before you say, what do you want to do? You should think about, yeah, I think I want to go to eat. Or I want to go to watch a movie. I want to take a nap. I want to clean. Whatever. And you have to pick which one would best glorify God. You see, it's nothing. God is interested in every single thing. Now, it's not sin to do anything, assuming it's not any sinful things you're going to do. You still have to see what will glorify God more. And Jeff Langer took me to a restaurant. And then I thought about it. I said, okay, if the menu, okay, which you have the all you can eat. What I pick count if I say I want to do it for the glory of God. And another thing, I told Jeff, go for second, go for third, go for fourth count as well. Because it says not to offend anyone. Imagine you are a pastor. The pastor getting for fourth, for fifth, and every time the plate is that high, people will think bad. So it's really, so you may say, wow, that's making life really hard. I guess it's not for everyone, but for whoever have ears to hear that, it's very important. If you can do that for the basic things of life, you will do it for the bigger things. And if you can practice to do that at least twice a week, there will be a big difference in your life, in your relationship with God. Now, even after you answer yes, going to the restaurant, going to the movie, take a nap is best to glorify God, he still says in verse 32, not to be an offense to anyone. So not only, okay, you're free, you think that's the best thing, you have to ask the question, will that offend anybody? I went to the definition of glory in Greek. This is what I find. There is many application for it, but one of it is reflection. That's 1 Corinthians 11:7. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God. Image and glory. Man is the reflection of God. Man is the reflection of God. And there is another application for it, opinion. Like man, glory to God is given an opinion, the right opinion about God. And there is an application, it means fame, honor, renown. So doing everything to glorify God, if we put all three together, this is what we come up. To live in a way that reflects God's character, giving others the right opinion of God, and declaring his fame. That's all it is about. So in everything you do, you live such a way that reflects God's character, that will give other people the right opinion of who God is, and then you will declare his fame. That means God is kind, right? God is love. God is every good things, right? And we are a reflection of God. What does that mean? Say again. We must be loving, kind, just, holy, in order to really reflect God's glory. So that's meaning everything we do, we have to think about we are the reflection of God. Whatever we do, it's like having a family names. I use that a lot. If your last name is Bush, whatever you do affect the Bush. It's the same. If you are a Christian, you reflect God, then whatever you do affects God's glory. 1 Peter 2:9, but ye are a chosen generation. Ye are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should shew forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into a marvelous light. That's what we call for. In other words, life is not about you. It's not about me. It's about God. Everything we do should not be about you and I. Psalm 50:23, whoso offereth praise glorifieth God. He said me. And to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I shew the salvation of God. We glorify God by our good works. Matthew 5:16, let your light be shine before all men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We glorify God by bearing fruits. John 15:8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so ye shall be my disciple. In Colossians 3:17, whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. 1 Peter 4:11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, through whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Isaiah 42:8. I am the Lord. That is my name. And my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. It's not about you, about me, about anybody else. It's about giving the glory to God. I'll close this by giving you three questions we should ask ourselves in everything we do. Everything. And I think that will sum up what Paul is trying to say here. Whatever we are about to do or even say, words or deed, the first question you must ask yourself, can I give thanks to this? Let's say you went and steal some money somewhere or a car or whatever. Can you raise your hand to thank you, Lord, for this car, for this money? No, I'm asking you. I mean, you steal it, but why can you give thanks for it? You cannot, because you know you had it the wrong way. So this is just an example to show you whatever you do or say, is it something you can give thanks for? You feel like it's of God, and then you feel like he deserves praise and glory for it. Oh, I heard of a pastor, whether it's true or not, but I heard it. You know, some pastors, some men of God or Christians, they call them claim it pastors. Like you say, you claim anything. You need a healing, you claim it. You need this, you claim it. He went to a restaurant with few members of his church, and then he ordered some grossly greasy burgers. And then he said, "We know the Lord. We're going to claim it. He's going to dissolve this grease, all this for us. We're going to claim it. You know? He's going to give thanks because the Lord, you know, he claimed." And then one of the members said, "Pastor, some calories are not dissolved but by prayer and fasting. A prayer and fasting, something you have to fast for it. You don't pray for it. So if you cannot give thanks, even by the simple eating, if you are in front of the burger, it's going to hurt your body. You cannot give thanks for it. You know, so don't do it, whatever it is. And then you ask the second question, will this glorify God? Will God find glory in what I'm saying or I'm doing? And if it's something, yeah, God will find glory in it. And it's up to you to determine that. No one else can tell you it is not, because you have your own walk with God, your own conviction. And the third thing you ask, okay, I can give thanks for it. It will glorify God, but will anybody stumble in any way what I'm doing? And then you look, I don't think anybody will have a problem with this, and you check, no problem, and then you're free. You are free. These are some questions I think are very important. Now in verse 33, this is what Paul said. He says, "Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved." I don't know if you know people can take you being Christian to abuse you, but because you are a Christian, they abuse you because you know you will not react. Can you let that happen? You cannot let that happen. This, it's like somebody think, I may choose to let you abuse me, but I may let you know, hey, I see what you're doing, but I just want to let you know I'm doing it because I want to, but I see your. So when Paul says he pleases all men, would we say Paul was a man pleaser? No. He wasn't a man pleaser. He had a purpose. Actually, Galatians 1:10 makes that very clear. "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ." We're not pleasing men by doing what we're doing. We're pleasing God. We're pleasing Christ. We're doing it so we can save as many as we can. I want you to keep that in mind. And then chapter 11, verse 1, "Be ye followers of me as I am of Christ." And that's how he concludes. And I'm concluding the series. Like this. Paul was asked so many questions. What do we do in this situation? What do we do in that? What do we do in this? What do we do in that? He said this, he said that. After a while, really, verse 31, what I see Paul is telling them now. Paul said, you know what? I don't know. I don't have an answer for every question. I don't know. But everything you do all for the glory of God. That's the conclusion of it. pastors, advisors, or whatever, if anybody thinks they have answers for every question, it's just wrong. You know, that's why when people come to me with their problem and we're trying to advise them, I don't want them to feel that once they come to Pastor Elise, they have the answer. No. That's not the way it works. Remember, some answers we don't know. It's the same thing. We, each individual, we have a path we will go into life. We have individual. Some of us are praying for the will of God. What do you want me to do? Do you want me to buy a car or not buy any car, buy a bicycle, buy a motorcycle? What color? What models? I mean, do you want me to get married or not? Or which... I don't know. I mean, it's just so many questions. There are no answers for them. When it's come to marriage, for example, do you know people are praying? Say, Lord, praying maybe for a wife, maybe for a husband. People are praying for all kind of things because the Bible doesn't say, Jeff, you need to get married and married so and so. So now you say you're praying for the will of God. I just wanted to note this morning, and you can go with this. I'm certain it will help you in life. In Proverbs 3, I think it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. What happened? He shall direct thy path. When you say you're praying for the will of God, God doesn't make us as some machine with remote control. And then you say, Lord, what do you want to do? Left, left, right, right. No, he gave you something called brain. And he wants you to use it. So he has his sovereign will for your life. Okay, he has something he knows. He created you for a specific reason. From point A to Z, he knows where he's going with you. But in between, you have to use your brain. I can tell you right now, many of you are praying, should you buy a car or not? You may never find an answer. Because God says, oh, you want me to tell you if you need to buy a car? Now, you can say, Lord, I desire to buy a car. I want you to guide me. And then, okay, and then, you know, that's the way you go. But you cannot be waiting, Lord, you know. For marriage, for example, Lord, you know, is it your will for me to get married? And who? Oh, I'm praying for a wife or a husband. Keep praying. Because there are processes you have to go through. So you see what happened when you don't take responsibility. You just pray, say, Lord, for a husband, for a wife, for a car, for whatever. And somehow a bird flies or you see an airplane passing by and you take it. When you open your eyes and you go out, the first man you see, that's the answer of my prayer. And then you tell everybody, God bless you, God this, God that. And then what happened? It doesn't work after a few years. It doesn't work. Who do you blame now? Because there is a process to get a wife, to get a husband, to get a car. There are something you have to sit down and see if it's going to work. So those are the will of God that we do. They are not black and white. They are not black and white. It needs wisdom, common sense to think, and you ask for advice, and then you do it. But there are people as well, they are afraid to do anything because they don't want to mess up God's will for their life. I have news for you. God knows where he's going with you, and you cannot mess that up. You cannot. There isn't anything you can do to mess up the plan of God for your life. Now, you may make it difficult. Maybe it was going to happen in 2 years. You messed it up, make it for 5-6 years because you did some crazy things. But what God has for you is going to stay. Let's take Joseph, for example. God had the plan for him to save the nation. Oh, many things happened in between. But God's plan still get there. Now, did God tell the brothers, had caused the brother to sell him? No. But because it's happened, things get harder, but the final things will happen. I remember talking to you about this, and that week, searching for that, I read an article about, and I shared that with you as well, that wife, they were interviewing about his faithful Christian husband who died, and she said her husband have been praying for 60 years for God's will for his life. And he died, he never get an answer. There are things that we know God's will for our lives. He want us to live in sanctification, right? That's the will of God. He want us to be saved. That's the will of God. All the big things, but the small things, your mind, your brain, your advisors, your pastors, that's what he gives you for. Your common sense and seek for wisdom. That's what he gives you for. Now, you and I can use this, all Paul talked about, to accomplish, to have a hidden agenda. We have, you know, hey, you don't tell me anything. I am free, and deep in my heart that, you know, God knows, right? Jim is looking at me. I think Jim has 6 Harley Davidson, right? 6, 8. Jim may say he has them for the glory of God. Hallelujah, Jim, right? But God knows, and he may have them for the glory of God. And who am I to say no? I cannot judge him. He is he, and then he has his Lord before God. I have mine. So all I'm asking you to close this series, feel free. Don't feel like you tight in Christ. We are called to liberty. Anytime you feel like, okay, you are tied up, the Spirit of God is not there. Because where the Spirit of God is, there is liberty. You should feel free. You do things because you and God are at peace with it. You ask the questions, you do the right things, and then you do. You should not feel like, oh, Pastor Elise or Pastor Payne or Pastor Thomas or the church or brothers. No, you should feel free. But God knows deep in your heart the purpose of everything you do. And this morning, I'd like you to stand with me, and we're going to read Psalm 39, verses 23 and 24. We're going to read these slowly and as a prayer. The psalmist says, and I think I'm hoping you say it for you this morning, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Let's do that again. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. It's my prayer that you go over chapter 8, 9, and 10, 1 Corinthians, and see the deepness of Paul's concern that you be one who will sacrifice rights and privileges for God's glory and for the salvation of men. May God bless you.
I'd like to ask the singers and musicians to come and